Good morning, early birds. You've caught the weekend worm. It's a special edition that recaps the top stories of the week and a heads up on what the newsroom is following for the upcoming week. It is the second week of March 2026, Saturday the 7th and Sunday the 8th. Wintry conditions have been few and far between this season. That is expected to change this weekend, Montana Public Radio's Edward O'Brien reports.
Western Montana's recent spring-like conditions are about to give way to a potent cold front that will slip into northwest Montana starting Sunday. Meteorologists say snow will drop to valley floors as the system pushes southward Monday, but wind is expected to be a bigger hazard. Gusts could exceed 40 miles per hour across the region Sunday and Monday. Mountain gusts during that time are forecast to range from 50 to 70 miles per hour. Winter weather advisories are posted throughout south central Montana through Friday morning. Heavy snow is expected in the mountains. Reporting from Missoula, I'm Edward O'Brien.
We'll start with the Trump administration's surprise entry into a Middle East conflict last Saturday. Montana's congressional delegates are united in their support of the war in Iran. Montana Public Radio's Shaley Rager reports.
Montana's federal representatives back the Trump administration partnering with Israel to attack Iran. Montana U.S. Senator Tim Sheehy, a former Navy SEAL, called the action a righteous endeavor on social media. He told CNN it's long overdue.
I'm very grateful the president has made the decision to finally take these folks out because, again, as you know, since the 1980s, this regime has been murdering in the most brutal way, not just American servicemen, but innocent civilians the world over.
Congressman Troy Downing, a U.S. Air Force veteran representing eastern Montana, commended President Trump on social media for challenging Iranian leadership and what he called a, quote, clear and present danger, unquote. U.S. Senator Steve Daines, a member of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, told Newsmax that Trump has moral clarity on the operation. Daines said a reign of terror has come to an end.
This gives the Iranian people a chance now to reset a much better, bolder, brighter, peaceful future.
Congressman Ryan Zinke, representing western Montana, said in a statement he stands behind the president as he, quote, removes the radical Islamic government in Iran that has been at war with the United States for decades, unquote. Zinke said he'll be voting against a war powers resolution that would limit Trump from taking additional unilateral action in the region. Democrats and a handful of Republicans support the resolution, arguing it's unconstitutional for Trump to go to war without congressional approval. Daines will also vote no on the resolution. A spokesperson for Downing said he would comment when the vote is closer. Sheehy did not respond to a request for comment by deadline. In Helena, I'm Shaley Riker.
Montana Public Radio's Shaley Rager was kept very busy this week as Montana became a political epicenter, making national headlines several times as the state's filing deadline closed. Montana Congressman Ryan Zinke announced Monday he's retiring from office at the end of his term in January. On Wednesday, we heard from Steve Daines with a surgically placed announcement. Daines is retiring and withdrawing his re-election bid. He anointed the state's U.S. Attorney Kurt Almay to take his place in the election. After we heard Senator Daines anoint Montana's junior Senator Tim Sheehy, we heard that Sheehy joined Capitol Police in ejecting a protester from a committee hearing Wednesday afternoon. And as the filing deadline closed out, former University of Montana President Seth Bodner officially launched his campaign as an independent for U.S. Senate. And to wrap the filing week up, Montana's top federal law enforcement officer stepped down to run for public office. The president will need to nominate a replacement. One more time, Montana Public Radio's Shaley Raker.
U.S. Attorney Kurt Almy resigned from office Wednesday, the same day he launched a surprise campaign for U.S. Senate. Almy's announcement came in conjunction with unexpected news that incumbent Senator Steve Daines was withdrawing from the race. Daines told the national outlet Semaphore Thursday that he coordinated the last-minute rollout to avoid a competitive and expensive election. Other candidates from both parties may have entered the race had they known it would be an open seat. Almy's second-in-command, Timothy Roscoe, has taken over as acting U.S. attorney for Montana until Trump nominates a permanent replacement. In Helena, I'm Shaley Raker.
And at the federal political level, a Senate committee has advanced President Donald Trump's pick to lead the Bureau of Land Management. Wyoming Public Radio's Hannah Mersbach has more.
Committee will come to order.
After months of intense public debate about former Republican New Mexico Congressman Steve Pierce, senators in the Natural Resources Committee cast their votes.
Mr. Lee.
Aye.
Mr. Barrasso.
Aye.
Republicans voted in favor, while Democrats...
Mr. Heinrich.
No.
Mr. Hickenlooper.
No by proxy.
The yeas had it, 11 to 9. Pierce's supporters also include energy and ranching groups, who say his experience with mining and grazing will help him manage the 245 million surface and 700 mineral acres under the BLM. But he's faced intense scrutiny from environmental groups, who point to his previous support for selling off public lands. In a hearing last week, Pierce indicated he wouldn't be in favor of such sales. He'll next face a full vote in the Senate in the coming weeks. For Wyoming Public Radio, I'm Hannah Mersbach.
In environmental news, as the weather warms up and we head into spring, early reminders are alerting fire watchers. Monday, we were following a small but potentially dangerous fire along the Reeder Creek. By Tuesday, mop-up operations were ongoing for the 4,900-acre Reeder Creek Fire. It was located 16 miles southeast of Roundup in Musselshell County. The fire is 100% contained. Fire officials with Montana DNRC report the Reeder Creek Fire burned entirely within the footprint of the 2021 Bobcat Fire scar. Local engines from Musselshell County continued to patrol the fire area, monitoring for residual heat and responding to any signs of smoke. And while we're in that area of Montana, Yellowstone Public Radio's Kayla DeRoche filed a story this week on environmental groups suing to stop the expansion of the Bull Mountains underground coal mine north of Billings.
The Montana Environmental Information Center, the Center for Biological Diversity, and Wild Earth Guardians sued federal land managers Tuesday in Billings U.S. District Court. The Trump administration fast-tracked the expansion of the Bull Mountains mine near Roundup last year as part of an executive order reducing regulatory hurdles for fossil fuel and mining projects. Plaintiffs say the Department of the Interior bypassed long-standing environmental standards to answer an energy emergency that does not exist. Ranchers and environmental groups successfully stopped expansion with a suit over insufficient environmental analysis at the mine in 2023. They say the recent emergency approval of the expansion limited public engagement in the environmental review, ignored feedback, and brushed over the site's impact on human health, water resources, and agriculture. Developer Signal Peak Energy runs the Bull Mountains mine and has historically exported to Asia. Management has said the mine needs the expansion to continue operation. YPR reached out to Signal Peak and did not hear back by deadline. A spokesperson with the Department of the Interior said they do not comment on ongoing litigation. In Billings, I'm Kayla DeRoche.
Further north in Montana, the users of the Milk River and St. Mary River watersheds have an opportunity to give input on the future of this vital waterway in northern Montana. YPR's Kay Erickson filed this story this week.
A draft watershed plan environmental impact statement is out for the Milk River Project, and the system's users are being asked to voice their opinions at a series of upcoming public meetings along the High Line. The Milk River Project has had infrastructure failures that have halted water to the High Line users. The Natural Resources Conservation Service, the Bureau of Reclamation, the Montana DNRC, and the Blackfoot Tribal Business Council have been working since 2023 on how to modernize the Milk River Project. The system has been providing water to irrigators, municipalities, tribes, and a wildlife refuge for more than 100 years. They've been looking at measures to improve water delivery reliability, decrease agricultural damages to the system's irrigators, and to mitigate the risk of infrastructure failure. The EIS includes three different action alternatives. One of the alternatives includes lining 9 miles of the canal, upgrading a siphon, a drop structure, and other improvements. Another is similar but would reshape the entire 29 miles of the canal, as well as the other upgrades and improvements. The third alternative is to take no action. The three public meetings are March 3rd at 11:30 a.m. in Havre and 4:30 p.m. in Malta, and March 4th at noon at Browning. The public comment period is open through March 30th. Information on the Milk River Watershed EIS is available at milkriverproject.com/projects/watershed. In Billings, I'm Kay Erickson.
And in another Montana community considering its future, the Laurel City Council is looking at whether to pause annexing property into the city later this month. Montana Public Radio's Aaron Bolton reports the proposal comes as residents and council members accuse the state of not being transparent about its plans to build a mental health facility.
For weeks, Laurel residents have crowded into the city council's chambers to oppose the state's plan to build a 32-bed mental health facility that would treat criminal defendants. The state plans to ask the city to annex property just outside of city limits for the project. Residents have accused the state of not listening to public input or keeping the public informed about its decision-making process. City Council members this week wrote a letter pushing back on the state's comments about being transparent. Councilmember Jody McKay read that letter.
Thus far, your promises appear to be misleading, if not complete falsehoods.
Residents have asked the council to consider an emergency moratorium on annexation. That would prevent the facility from connecting to city utility services. The city council will discuss the idea during a workshop on March 17th. In Columbia Falls, I'm Aaron Bolton.
And in Wyoming, an animal cruelty case was finally resolved. The man accused of bringing a live, injured wolf into a Sublette County bar 2 years ago spoke about his actions publicly for the first time at a change of plea hearing this week. Wyoming Public Radio's Caitlin Tan has more.
Guilty, and I apologize. Those were the words from Cody Roberts at the Sublette County Courthouse. Roberts changed his plea to guilty of felony animal cruelty as part of a plea agreement. The prosecutor said Roberts captured a wolf and allowed it to suffer by bringing it injured into a bar, posing with it, trying to kiss it, and hours later carrying it out of the bar and then shooting and killing it. Roberts said those details were, quote, pretty accurate. He then told the sparsely filled courtroom that, quote, I sincerely regret my actions. I apologize to the community and my family. If the judge accepts the plea deal, Roberts is facing a $1,000 fine and 18 months probation, which means no guns or alcohol. The sentencing will likely happen in the coming months. For Wyoming Public Radio, I'm Caitlin Tan in Pinedale.
March Madness is in full swing in Montana. The college regular basketball seasons have ended, and area teams are working their way through conference tournaments as March Madness unfolds. The Montana State men are the number 2 seed in the 10-team Big Sky Tournament in Boise, Idaho. They'll play Sunday afternoon against the winner of the Idaho and Sacramento State game. The University of Montana men, the 4th seed, play Monday night against Northern Colorado. For the women, the number 8 seed University of Montana women play Saturday afternoon against Northern Arizona, while the MSU women, the number 2 seed, play the winner of the Northern Arizona-Montana game. The Big Sky Conference tournament games will be broadcast by Scripps Sports. A hot start and a gutsy finish lifted number 6 seed Montana State Billings past number 2 seed number 23 Central Washington. The score 79-75 Friday afternoon at Sam Carver Gym. The Yellow Jackets advance to the title game of the 2026 Great Northwest Athletic Conference Women's Basketball Championships. GNAC Freshman of the Year Cassie Chestnut led all players with a 24-point, 13-rebound double-double. Caitlin Grossman had 21.7 rebounds, 6 assists, and 2 steals. And Kyla Momberg produced 11 points, a season-high 9 assists, 7 rebounds, and 5 steals. As we went to press Saturday morning, the Yellow Jackets were scheduled to play for the GNAC Championships title Saturday at 5, facing number 1 seed Western Washington, who defeated number 5 seed Western Oregon Friday afternoon. It will be MSUB's 5th appearance in the GNAC Championship title game, with its lone win coming in 2018. Losses coming in 2016, 2023, and 2024. MSUB is the 2nd number 6 seed since the tournament was formed in 2011 to advance to the championship game, joining St. Martin's, which was defeated in last year's title tilt. Central was the top-ranked West Region team entering the tournament, while the Yellow Jackets entered the week unranked regionally. The top 8 teams in the final rankings, which are announced Sunday, will earn spots in next week's NCAA West Region Championships, hosted by the number 1 overall seed. 8 teams from the Frontier Conference are headed to the Women's and Men's National Association of Intercollegiate Athletics, or NAIA, National Championship Basketball Tournaments. 3 conference schools, Rocky Mountain, Carroll, and Montana Tech, are sending both men's and women's teams to tournament locations. All will play in first-round games on March 13th. On the men's side, Rocky will play at home at the Fortin Center on the Rocky campus in Billings against Simpson. The Tech men are headed to Oklahoma to play Oklahoma City. Carroll men will play Wayland Baptist in Arizona, and Bellevue faces Huntington in Indiana. The winners advance to games on March 14th. Those winners advance to the NAIA Men's 16-game championship tournament March 19th through the 24th in Kansas City, Missouri. For the women, Dakota State will play at home in Madison, South Dakota against Grandview. Tech women are headed west to play Lewiston, Idaho, to face Nelson. Rocky women will play Southern Oregon in Iowa, and the Carroll women will play in Indiana against Columbia. The winners will play on March 14th. Those winners advance to the women's 16-team NAIA Championship Tournament in Sioux City, Iowa, March 19th through the 24th. Stories we are continuing to follow. The average price of a gallon of regular gasoline in Montana has gone up 20 cents as of the end of the week. It's running around $2.99, according to AAA Montana. The association's weekly fuel report indicates the national average for a gallon of regular gas has jumped almost 27 cents since last week. It's up around $3.25 as of Friday. AAA lists fuel prices around Montana at $3.01 in Great Falls, $3.02 in Missoula, and $3.06 in Billings, all of those prices as of Friday. The report says the conflict in the Middle East has sent crude oil prices higher to the $70 barrel range. By Saturday, it was up around $90. Finally, the U.S. Secretary of the Interior met with mining executives and local government officials at the site of the largest Superfund complex in the world to discuss how to revitalize Montana's former mining hub. Montana Public Radio's Victoria Traxler told us about that this week. We expect this story to continue to develop.
Secretary of the Interior Doug Burgum joined Congressman Ryan Zinke for a tour of Montana Technological Institute this past Friday. School faculty shared their latest mining and engineering tech with the federal officials. The tour preceded a roundtable discussion with local government leaders, mining industry executives, and other private companies like Sabey Data Centers. No one from renewable energy industries was present. Burgum told attendees the Trump administration's push for mining innovation and permitting reform means big opportunity for legacy mining hubs like Butte.
The world is changing right in front of us, and instead of being afraid of it and stopping it and trying to kill it with court cases and regulation, you know, then places like Montana should be embracing it.
He says renewable energy sources like wind and solar continuously fail to meet public energy needs. Current federal data show renewable-sourced energy generation is growing as fossil fuels fall. Burgum praised the United States' current approach to mining.
They should want it to be happening in places like Montana because we do it cleaner, better, smarter, safer, and with newer technology and greater concern for humanity than any place on the planet.
His statements come on the heels of changes to state and federal environmental policies. This includes lowering water quality standards and the EPA rolling back bedrock environmental regulations. Butte Chief Executive J.P. Gallagher acknowledged the city's muddled mining history, but says he wants to see Butte back on the map as an industry leader.
We have a one-stop shop in our community when you look at what we have. We've got active mining, but we also have a college here that is sending out the best and brightest throughout the world in mining and petroleum and environmental as well and electrical.
Absent from Friday's discussions were any details around several recent Montana mining projects fast-tracked by the federal government. In Butte, I'm Victoria Traxler.
That is the Weekend Worm for the third weekend of March 2026. We'll have another episode of The Worm on Monday, and we'll keep the weekend editions coming, too. I'm Carl Lengel. Have a great weekend.
The Worm is a production of Yellowstone Public Radio. Theme music composed and recorded by Zach Jones at Rapscallion Recording. Metal art call captured by Jay McGowan for the Macaulay Library. More information about The Worm is available at ypradio.org.